be able to get closer to him, inshallah, recite louder salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Before I start the ahkam, I really like the concept of youth come here, you know, give the presentation, talk about different things, participate in, you know, your own organization. I really recommend all of you guys, inshallah, one by one, to come here, because this is like a bigger family. So they're all your families here, inshallah. There's no, you know, objection to say, oh, I'm shy, I can't. This is a training here that will be a great, inshallah, practice for all of us. Recite salawat ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad.
In salat, one of the conditions, the most important conditions maybe, is that you should be stable. When you are saying your azkar, the zikr of salat, your body should be stable. You should not move around. We see that some people, when they say their salat, when they say the azkar of the salat, their body is not stable. For instance, when they want to go to, they finish their ruku, they stand up, they want to go to sajda, the azkar that they're saying, half of it in the middle of the way to go there, half of it is when they reach there. When they say Allahu Akbar, Allah is in the way, Akbar is when they got there. No. You should be stable, you should stand, or you should sit down, calm down, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, say your zikr, and then do the next amal. Many people, we see that, they're so in a hurry. Up and down, they say azkar in the way, that's wrong. That is not acceptable. No matter how many salat you say, 40 years or 50 years, you should pay attention to it. So that's very important that, I can say the rule of thumb is that when you go to sajda, don't start right away. 1-2 seconds, when you just put your head on the torba, two seconds, it's not that much. And then say your zikr. When you stand up, 2 seconds, say your zikr, and then say it. So don't be in a hurry in the middle of the way to, you know, say azkar in the way that the only zikr they say you can say is bihawlillah, that you can say and stand up. The other azkar, some of them are the main azkar, you shouldn't say it in the way. So you should be stable. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad.
You forgot to say 2 salawat, remember?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Last night we were talking about having peace in life and living in peace. We said that having peace, it has some conditions to reach peace, to achieve peace, have some condition that we have to observe, and there are some obstacles towards reaching peace that we should prevent hitting those obstacles. Sometimes the topic of peace is a topic that no matter what is your nationality or how old you are, you need this ni'mah, you need the ni'mah of peace which Allah already created for us, to live in peace. So we said that if you don't have peace, you would not be able to be successful in your life from different aspects of your life. You need peace. Even for ibadah, you need your mind to be in peace in order to do ibadah. The majority of the problems and the crimes that sometimes happen, the wars that sometimes happen, we see is for the sake of peace. We want our nation to live in peace. We want our people, I want my family to live in peace, so I steal some money. So this is a topic that everybody is looking for it, but some people, they go through the wrong way to reach peace. They think through this wrong way, they can reach peace for their own people, for their own family, and then they can, but this is a wrong concept. Sometimes we see that because of the lifestyle that we make for ourselves, we live in a life that there is no peace, but we like it. We live in a life that is full of stress, but we don't pay attention. We think that's it and we like it. One of the main concepts that we hear a lot between couples, they said if there's no fight between couples, you know, that life is not sweet. So fights makes the life of couples sweet. Have you heard this? Right? If they fight with each other, then they know the value of each other. This is one of the wrong concepts, because we need to put ourselves in some stress, some difficulties. Who said that? Really, the life of Ahlul Bayt, we're like in this type of stresses that we have, and then they knew. It reminds me of a story that someone went to a village and he saw that everybody is scratching his own body. And he was like, what's wrong with you guys? Why are you scratching your bodies? They look at him and says, what's wrong with you? Why you're not scratching your body? He said, I'm fine, I'm healthy. They said, no, something is wrong with you. They took him somewhere and they start beating him up. Something is wrong with you, because we're all scratching ourselves, we're not scratching it. So you are wrong. No, you don't have to live in a stress in order, you know, to make something valuable. No. So we have to change our worldview, the way that we look, to see what is the life in peace. We mentioned last night that Islam has the best recommendation how to reach peace. And it was through Iman Billah, to believe in Allah. We mentioned many ayat, that the main condition to reach peace, the real peace, is what? It's through Iman Billah. You all heard about this ayah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah Ra'd ayah 2. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَتْمَعِنُوا قُلُوبُهُمْ بِالْإِيمَانِ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْمَعِنُوا الْقُلُوبُ. The one who believe and their hearts are peaceful with the remembrance of Allah. Just with the remembrance of Allah, and then it's emphasizing, Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. With the remembrance of Allah, if you remember Allah, if you have Allah in your life, then that life would be a peaceful life without stress. And this is Quran from the creator of the peace, right? If you have Iman of Allah, you reach peace. If it means the obstacles. If you get away from Iman of Allah, if you get away from the remembrance of Allah, you will get away from the peace. It's two ways. You get away from Allah, you get away from peace. For example, whatever distracts me from the name of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, the dhikr of Allah, would keep me away from peace. All these difficulties, all these problems that some people have, you know, this sins, the jealousy, the greed, long-term, you know, wishes that some people have, the goals. And all these things that Islam says this is haram, you shouldn't get close to them. Whoever has these things would get away from Allah, would get away from peace. On the other hand, peace is not something that it will come to you. Peace is something you have to achieve it. You have to work for peace. And if you don't maintain the peace, that means if you don't maintain your relationship with Allah, you will get away from peace gradually. You have to maintain this relationship. Some people, you see that Allah tests them with this dunya. He was one of those that he was always coming to the masjid, he was very involved, everything. And then Allah gives him a little bit of money, and you see that he is far, far away from this type of things. I actually know someone, I heard. Very involved, he got a little bit of money, more than people at the same age as him. He got away from masjid, from everything. Wow, we're very far from it. And then Allah what? He got bankrupt. Allah went to test people to say you don't have the capacity, you know. And then as soon as he get bankrupt, oh, he's again in the masjid. I don't want to be like this. I want to have the capacity that, you know, that's why if I want to ask for dunya, if I want to ask for money, I have to pay attention. Is it going to bring the peace to me, to my life, or not? I have to pay attention. One of the important things is that in order to reach peace in our life, we have to have a very careful look at the realities of the life. If you have a problem in your life from different aspects, your job, your family problem, with your children, with your family, with your parents, you have to pay attention to it, not to run away from it. Some people, they think as soon as they have a problem, if they run away from that problem, if they got quiet not to talk to each other, so they get away from that source of stress. No. We see a lot among couples, as soon as they have a problem, they start not talking to each other. They think that's a good, you know, a strategy. So if I don't talk to you, so you don't cause stress. If I have a little bit, you know, tension between me and my parents, they think, in a normal situation, they think that if we get away from each other, we don't talk to each other, it's what? So we don't talk to each other, so you're not bothering each other. But the thing is that the problem is still there. The equation that is unsolved is still there, right? I have to pay attention to it. I have to solve it. Not that I said, you know, so I get away from it, it'll get better itself. No. That's why Allah brought the mantiq, the logic, and you can talk, solve your problem in the normal situation. Talk to each other, try to find a solution. I don't think there is anyone in this world in the normal situation, again I'm emphasizing because sometimes the situation is really difficult, so it needs another strategy, that they can talk to each other, they can understand each other. It depends on the environment. It depends on how do I want to talk. It depends how I look at it, the world view that I have. It depends on that. One of the factors I said, apparently according to this world, if you hear the topic of death, you should be panicked, right? You should be stressed. Oh my God, I don't want to die. So it brings stress to your life. When it comes to Islam, Islam says the topic of death, remembrance of death, is one of the things that would strengthen your iman, and because of that, because you're strengthening your iman, because of that you reach peace. So the topic of death and remembering death, it'll give you the peace. This is one of the realities that you look at that reality. You're not forgetting, you're not denying that reality. No. Death is there. Moat is there, and I have to pay attention, and it'll happen to me one day. Instead of running away from it, I'll pay attention to it to get ready for it. Inshallah, one night I'm going to talk about this. And audience, you know, should be careful. They said your discretion is advised, you know. At that night, I will tell you before so you don't bring your kids, so don't tell me, oh my God, it was so scary. No, actually, we need this topic. We need. Maybe one, two nights I talk about it, inshallah. If you like, salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. You want to call each other, oh, that night we're going to have a horror movie. Come by. It's actually a little bit scary, a little bit too much. So, death. We have to pay attention. Islam says don't get away from it. You have to pay attention. This is one of the realities of your life, which bring peace to your life. You see how Islam is different, how it brings the worldview to you. But other religion, other people, you talk about death, they get panic. Can you please don't talk? Have you ever seen you talk to some people and say, can you please change the subject? Don't talk about it. What do you mean change the subject? It's like change the subject, don't talk about sleeping. Sleeping is semi-death, right? Because when you sleep, your soul get away from your body. It's a death. That's why sometimes when you wake up someone, be careful, by the way, in parentheses, because the soul is away from the body. If you wake them up suddenly in a very scary way, sometimes they see that the soul is not coming back to the body. Be careful. So some people are like, what? Scared. Yeah, if you want to wake up your sister, your brother, be careful this time not to kick them. Or parents, they want to wake their youth up for the Salat Fajr, you know. They yell, come on, how many times do you have to say wake up? No, you don't have to, you know? Gentle, nice. The soul will come back, inshallah, right? So, whatever peace you see in this world, Without the remembrance of Allah, without Iman, without the name of Allah, it's just a facade. It's just a facade. It's not a real peace. You might see some people, I see they're living in a peace. No, this is not the real peace. Have you seen some people when they use drug, they stay in a peace of, you know, time that they are in peace? Because what? Because they get away from this world, right? And they get high, so they don't think about anything, so they think they are in peace at that moment. But that peace is a facade, because after a few seconds, few minutes, when they come back to the normal situation, it's even worse than, you know, before. So whatever peace without the name of Allah is just a facade. So now let's look at the riwayat, the traditions that we have, and see how beautifully riwayat and ayat of Quran, they are matching each other. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is the tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Look how beautiful they're matching each other. Ma min mu'minin illa waqad ja'ala lahu min imanihi unsan yaskunu ilayhi. The iman of the mu'min is the cause and the reason of peace for him. The reason that he is in peace is the iman that mu'min has. Not that his life is, you know, he doesn't have problem. No. جَعَلَ لَهُ مِنْ إِيمَانِهِ أُنْسًا يَسْكُنُ إِلَيْهِ. The iman is the reason of peace that that person has. Because whatever happens to his life, he knows that there is a person, there is someone behind these things that are happening. So he knows someone is managing these things for him. So he's not worried about that. حَتَّى لَوْ كَانَ عَلَىٰ غُلَّةِ جَبَلٍ لَمْ يَسْتَوْحِشْ. Even if he is on top of a mountain, so scary, all alone, he's not scared because he knows Allah is with him. أَنْ لَا تَخَافَ مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدٍ. When he has, Imam Rizal said, when he has Allah, there's nothing else that he will be scared of. We got a letter, we're going to, you know, kick you out of the company, you want to kick it. No, you're no one to be able to do that. Someone was going to go to another country to get his visa. Was difficult. I don't know where. I don't say where. It was difficult to get the visa, right? And he was so panicked. Oh my God, I want to come to that country. It's a good country. I don't know if I can get a visa or not. And he was youth. So his mom was talking to him. He was a very wise woman and mother. He said, you know what? Do you think the person who is going to the person who is going to sign the visa is the one who will decide that you should go there or you shouldn't go there? He's no one to decide for your life. Someone else is there to decide that should you have that signature to go there, live there for the rest of your life or not. Look how deep and how beautiful is that. Instead of I be panic, oh my God, if he's going to sign or not. If he wants or not. Because if he wants, that guy has no power to say, I will sign it or not. That can be, you know, common in all our life. That if Allah wants, that would happen. So I want to give you one of the main factors that can bring peace in your life. Very important. I want to talk a few nights about this. I want you to pay attention. Remember, we said in our trip towards Allah, towards Mi'raj, sometimes we see that in an airplane, we need that to be the spiritual plane. This topic that I want to talk to you about right now is the fuel of the engine that you need to get closer to Allah. That means if you don't have it, the engine will not work. What is it? It's the concept of dua. Dua. You need dua in order to move towards Allah. If you don't have dua in your life, if dua is weak in your life, you're stuck in your life. You cannot move forward towards Allah. I want to give you the proofs why I'm saying it. With dua, you will have the special attention that Allah paid to you. Special attention, because Allah have a general attention to all creatures. to all the creatures, even that little ant, even that, you know, pig, horse, animals, human beings, he has a general, as a creator, attention. But for some people, Allah has a special khawas, khas, attention to those people. With dua, you absorb Allah's attention specifically. The special rahmat of Allah, you can attract it to you, to yourself, with dua that you have. Have you seen the acupuncturists? Or you heard about it, right? They have some needles. They said that there are some spots in your body that they are related to different points of your body. For instance, if I put needle, put pressure in this, for instance, I don't know, I'm just saying, in this spot, it's related to my heart. So if I have heart disease, they put the needle in a certain spot of my body and they said that would fix your heart. Your liver, your kidney, you know, you heard about it. They have different spot, they put needle in it, and then, you know, boom, that spot is getting better, hopefully. Dua is like this. There are some spots in your soul that with different duas that we recite, you see how beautiful the variety of concepts we have in dua. With duas, it's like those needles that it's putting towards these points in your body that you are sick. That point. If I have a problem with my ikhlas, sincerity, I recite one dua, the needle of that dua goes exactly to the point that I need to get better with my ikhlas. If I have problem with qayba, na'uzu billah, I do qayba. I recite one dua, that point, even if I don't pay attention, it will hit the spot that will, different spots in your soul, the dua would fix it. Dua would fix it. Some of the rawayat we have, they said reciting du'as are more important than reciting Quran. Because the concepts that we have in du'a, that much concept we have in du'a, we don't have in Quran. Which Quran is the main, the origin, right? But we have a lot of concepts in du'a, sometimes the private concept that will help us to talk to Allah. To that extent that Allah said, this is the scary part. Allah said, I want to talk to you, right? You should come and talk to me. I'll talk to you through Quran. You should come and talk to me as well. He said, if you do not talk to me through dua, if you don't do dua, that's scary. I will never be care about you. I don't take care of you. I don't care about you. This is Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاكُمْ فَقَدْ كَذَّبْتُمْ فَصَوِيكُمْ. If you don't do dua, I will never care about you. Allah. When I'm asking you, if I don't talk to you, if you, whenever you are paying attention to me, but I don't pay attention to you, how many times you pay attention to me? Finally says, okay, you don't want to talk to me, you don't want to be with me, this is Quran. That's fine. Go find someone that you... I saw some people, they couldn't. This concept is like, of course I do dua. I see and I saw some people, they can't talk to God. They can't do dua. They don't have this permission. They know that they have to talk to Allah, but they can't. While we see a dua, mukhul ibadah. Dua is the core and the origin of ibadah, of worship. Know what that means? The core. It is the reason, the fuel that the worship would work. The worship that doesn't have dua in it, it doesn't work. You have to have dua. And the beautiful part is that, because Quran, we have some riwayat, Allah talks to you through Quran, right? The words of Allah. We talk to Allah through du'as. Du'as are like private meeting with Allah. Private meeting with the master of this world. With the creator of this world. That whatever you want, you can talk to him and you can ask him through that dua. The length of this meeting, private meeting, you and him, it depends of the length of the dua. The longer, the better. The more attention I pay, the better. Not that when I start reciting dua, as soon as I start the second page, I go count the pages. Oh my God, three more pages. Oh, have you ever did this? I know you did it. Oh my God, who's gonna do that? Some people are like, that's good. That's a good sign. Did you hear I said some of the ulama, they were reciting some of the big du'as like Jami', like Abu Hamza, 20 pages in the qunut of their salat. In the qunut of their salat. How could they do it? Because they were feeling it. They knew that they are talking. Come on, example I always give is this. If I have the 5 minutes meeting, sometimes when you want to meet one of these officials, they give you 5-10 minutes, right? 10 minutes you can go have a meeting with the president, right? 5 minutes? 5 minutes talk to president, 10 minutes. You call all your friends, you post it on Facebook everywhere. You know what? I have 5 minutes to talk to over the phone, overseas, doesn't matter. I just and I'm telling you, Allah says you can stay with me, private meeting. You talk to me, I talk to you, I pay attention to you, like you are the only servant that I have. And I listen to you, and I'm able to answer, and I'm able to give it to you, whatever you're asking. Why I'm so distracted? Why I'm so neglectful? I'm talking about myself. That the creator of this universe, this beauty is around me, is telling me, talk to me, I will answer it. And he has access to the best sources that it's possible to have. He said himself that if you ask me, I'll give it to you. I don't know, na'udhu billah, how should Allah tell us that, okay, you come, I'll give it to you, you talk to me, I'll pay. How should he say it? How many times in Quran, in dua, we should recite, we should read to believe in it, to trust it? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, this is Quran. Iza sa'alaka ibadi anni, fa inni qareebun ujibu da'wata da. إِذَا دَعَانْ فَلْيَسْتَجِبْ. Allah is saying, when my servants is telling Rasulullah, when my servants are asking about me, tell them that I am near, I am right there. You don't have to look around, I am right there. I can hear you. I respond to the calls, and I respond to the call of one when he prays to me, so they should respond to me. When he prays, when you pray to me, I can hear it, I respond it. In some of the, another ayah says, أَقْرَبُ إِلَيَّ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. The vein of your neck, this vein, okay, this is the closest things to you. In your body, because it's close to your mind, to your brain, the closest things to you is this vein of here. Quran says, Allah says, I am closer to you than this way. I can hear you. Come on, ask me. That's why when Allah is telling you this way, to that extent, when you're not paying attention, this riwayah comes and says, عَجَزَ النَّاسِ مَنْ عَجَزَ عَنِ الدُّعَى. The weakest person in the world is the one that cannot have dua, cannot talk to Allah. So this is the importance of dua. Ramadan is the month of dua. Is the month of talking to Allah. We have some du'as ma'athur from Ahlul Bayt. They came from Ahlul Bayt. We got it from Ahlul Bayt. And some du'a that you want to ask Allah from something that just happened to your life, right? This can be a du'a. The best ways are the du'as that we got from Ahlul Bayt, but sometimes you can talk to Allah. With all the respects that we have towards Allah, you can talk to Allah. One of the main conditions when you want to do du'a, the majority of people, they made mistake here. Don't feel arrogant in front of Allah when you want to talk to Him. Many people, when they want to talk to Allah, they talk the way that na'udhu billah, Allah owed them something. So they're asking Allah, this is your turn to, you know, answer my question, answer my hajat. I shouldn't feel that as soon as I start saying dua, so this is Allah's responsibility to answer me. That's wrong. That is one of the obstacles that would not let my dua to go higher. Because you know what? Because our levels are not equal. My level and Allah level is not equal. To say, okay, let's sit down, Ya Allah, and talk about it and negotiate it to see what you want to give me, what I want to give you, right? When it comes to Allah, Allah nur al-samawat wal-arf. Allah is the light of the skies and the earth. When it comes to me, ana abduka zalil, miskin, faqir, mustakin, mustajir. I'm no one, I'm nothing. So there's no equality that I sit down and say, okay, I have this, you have. No, it's all coming from Allah, right? So I shouldn't feel I have something that I can ask Allah about it. So when you want to talk to Allah, you should. When you talk to someone who is important, you're very polite, right? I have to, because dua, that means when it comes to Allah. When you ask Allah, you put yourself lower. You lower yourself. You humiliate yourself only in front of Allah. For the sake of Allah. You shouldn't feel, you know what? That's antumul fuqara ila Allah. You're all needy toward Allah. We need Him to help us. So never feel that, you know, you have something that because of that you can ask Allah, Ya Allah, that's the time you have to give me this hajat. No. No one has the right to say that. Imam Hussein, to the last moment, he said, Ya Allah, I'm satisfied with whatever you are satisfied with. To the last moment, they just worked to see if Allah is satisfied with them. And they paid everything that they had for Allah. So at the beginning of my dua, I pay attention. There is no eligibility from my side to ask Allah for dua. If He is going to give it to me, it's just because of His mercy, not because I am eligible. This is dua from Ahlul Bayt, from Imam Sajjad we have. So what do I have? Some people, when they talk to Allah, they talk like they have something. What do I have? I have my salat. MashaAllah, where is it? Really? My salat is the way that I can ask because of, I don't know even if my salat is accepted or not. My fasting? Come on. Really? My dua is what? I have nothing to be proud of in front of Allah. I did something, you know, amazing, so you have to. In dua kumail, what Imam says? اقفر لمن لا يملك إلا دعاء. Forgive the person that has nothing except dua. The only thing that they have in front of you, Ya Allah, is just dua. I have nothing else. Nothing else. I don't know if they accept my life. There's a nice story from Imam Khomeini. I just heard that when one time they came to Qom to arrest him, Sawak, the intelligent people service, they came to arrest him. It was at the time of Salat Fajr. He said, let me say my prayer, I'll come with you. No, we don't have the permission to let you say your Salat Fajr. Okay, let me take my wuzu so I can say my Salat in the way. No, we don't have the permission. They said, okay, in the car, just let me do tayammum on the ground and the street. They don't let him, right? It's force. He says, okay, we can do it here. So he did tayammum, just right at the car, that before you get to the car, on the ground. And he did tayammum, and he sat down on the car, and he said two rak'ah Salat Fajr in a way. No qibla, nothing, God knows, right? This with tayammum. Because it was under force, they didn't let him. And then they took him to Tehran. And then after that, another occasion, he was talking, he says, I don't have anything, even one salat to be able to say it is accepted. Imam said, I can't say even my salats are accepted. The only salat that I have, I think maybe that would be accepted, is that two rak'ah salat that I recited in the car with tayammum. I think the best way of dua is, you know, to take wuzu and have some, you know, good smells and atr around me and with the tasbih in front of qibla. So in that case, angels are around me. No. When dua, it comes to the point that you are desperate. You have nothing else. You feel you're all in need. That you need Allah. That is the point that your dua will be accepted. There's a king in Iran, actually, in Mashhad, called Nadir Shah, if you heard about him. He wanted to go to visit the haram of Imam Raza, Holy Shrine of Imam Raza, alayhi salam. He saw that there is a poor people, a beggar, sitting at the door, and he's blind. He said, what are you doing here? He said, I'm just asking people to help me, and I'm asking Imam to cure my eyes. He said, how long have you been here? He says, I think he said around 7 years. He says, 7 years you're sitting here, you ask Imam Musa, you still didn't get your eyes cured?
I said, no.
He said, you know what? I'm going to do ziyarah and I'll come back. If your eyes are not cured, I'll kill you. And he put his soldier, he said, keep him. Make sure he doesn't run away. 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. If I go there, do ziyarah, come back. He was not a very good king, actually. But he says, if I go there and come back, you're not cured, I'll kill you. He said, what do you say? As soon as he left, he started crying. Ya Imam Rizal, please, he's gonna kill me. He started crying and asking desperately. This is my life. He's gonna kill me, and he's not joking. And he was killing people like that, by the way. He killed his own son. He's gonna kill me. I need your help. Nader came back. He could see. Nader said, 7 years you were sitting here at the door of the Quraysh line. You didn't get cured. You know why? Because you were not asking desperately. Now that you know I'm gonna kill you, that was the point that you were disappointed from anyone else and you were asking. How many of our du'as, you're asking, Ya Allah, and I'm crying, but on the bottom of my heart, tomorrow I have to call that person to make sure if he can make it for me or not. I'm not desperately asking for Allah. I have to put myself all the way down. There's nothing from me. I'm all the same as the dirt towards Allah. And now I'm asking Allah. Ad-du'a silahul mu'min. The weapon of mu'min is du'a. It's amazing. And if you want to ask from Allah, because Allah is great, most beneficent, merciful, you ask big. You ask big from Allah. If you go to the ocean, you don't take one cup of water. You take bigger because it's an ocean. A little girl came to the store, grocery store. She had a list of things that her mom told her to go and take it. And she got it, and the owner, you know, liked it. MashaAllah, you're a little one and you're helping your mom. So you see the chocolates over there? Take a fistful of the one hand of the chocolates over there and go home. He saw that the girl is not taking anything. He thought maybe the girl is, you know, shy. That's why. It was a little girl. I said, why are you not taking? Come on, grab, you know, one hand of those chocolate, please. He says, no. Can you do it for me? He said, don't be shy, take it. He said, no, you do it. Why? Because your hands is bigger than mine. Smart. I have to be smart. When it comes to Allah, I know how to ask Him. I know that I can ask Him about simple things in my life. But I know that He is the source of it. I ask Him bigger. I ask Him for big things. I ask Him for the ma'rifat. I ask Him next time that I go to Hajj, inshallah, I know what I am doing. I can see Allah. Next time I go to the Holy Shrine of Ma'asum, this one and that one, when I see the shrine, I see the Ma'asum is over there. Some people, they could do it. When they went to the Haram of Imam Raza, they could see Imam sitting there. It's been narrated from Ayatollah Bahjat. Someone came to him from Mashhad, visiting Mashhad. And he says, did you go to Haram? Yes, I went to Haram. How was it? Alhamdulillah. Did you see Imam Raza? No, I didn't see Imam Raza. Did you go to Haram? Yes. You didn't see Imam Raza? He says, really? So you're not Mashhadi yet. So that means you still have to work on yourself. So you didn't see me. So he was asking him, like, you know, because they can see the thing. I ask them next time that I go to Haram, I can see them. I want to feel their ibadah. Next time I do dua, I feel their ibadah. Sorry, it's taking a little bit longer. But inshallah, next time, the dua that I'm doing, I am talking to Allah. I have the opportunity to talk to the Master. I pay attention to it. Not that, you know, just, I'm very, alhamdulillah, thankful to the organizer of your, of Al Wilayah, because they pay attention to dua, alhamdulillah. Some other places, no. This is 12, 13, 15, 14, I don't know. We do this dua, we do that dua, we do dua al-Majid. This is important. Some of you guys, they just recite this dua once a year, right? Once a year. It's not good, by the way. Because once a year when you do dua, it's like you have your prestige, and once a year you're sitting, talking to Allah. Okay, Allah, I talk to you once a year, so that's it. And you're so happy that mashallah, once a year you don't know. I'm telling myself, if we want to do Abu Hamza, we have to say Abu Hamza every week at least. To put ourselves down in front of Allah. Not to have the prestige in front of Allah. This is important, inshallah, pay attention to it. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad al-Majid Fajr. One of the main examples of those people that they could get to the highest level of dua is Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Imam al-Afin. Sayyid al-Sajidin. If you look at the life of Imam alayhi salam, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, when you look the difficulties and the problem and the masa'ib that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam he had in his life, he was talking to Allah the most romantic and the best words that you can find in this dunya, in this world. You see in the dua that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam used to talk to Allah. Allah knows what happened to the heart of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam in Karbala. He's Imam. He's in fever, but he can hear the voice of his father Imam Hussein alayhi salam. At the moment that Imam was calling, Hal min nasirin yansuruni? Is there anyone that can come? Imam was looking around him. There is no one to come and help Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You know that Imam can hear that Imam Ma'soom, his Imam of Asr, his father, Imam Hussein, is asking for help, but he can't go help Imam Hussein. I want you to just pay attention 1 second, what happened to the heart of Imam Sajjad at that moment that he saw that his brothers are gone, his uncle is gone, all the friends are gone, even his little brother Ali Asghar is gone. Now this is the time that Imam Sajjad should go help his father, but no, he can't. This is Allah's decree that Imam should stay there because he is going to be the next Imam. They narrate that after Muharram, after Karbala, for many, many years, it has been narrated whenever Imam was seeing that they are going to slaughter a sheep, Imam was crying. Imam was asking, did you give water to this animal or not? Imam was crying many, many years when they were asking, Ya Rasulullah, why you are crying so much? He said, I saw that I was there in Karbala. I saw what they did to my father Hussein. I was there. I saw what they did to my brother. Allahumma salli ala ya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allah ya knows the heart of Imam Sajjad. Many years whenever Imam remembered Ashura, he was crying. That's not easy that you see in front of your eyes. They kill your father like that tragedy. They kill your brother. And then in the caravan, they put all those heavy chains around the neck of Imam Sajjad. They said after many, many years, when Imam was shaying, they were going to wash the body. They saw the mark of those chains, those heavy chains around the neck of Imam. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, I got my du'as, I got all these supplications from these people, from Ma'sumin, from Imam Sajjad alayhi wa salam. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Allah, help me to get closer to you, to learn more about the ma'arif and the du'as that they came from imams. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. Wasaya'lamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun. Allahumma ajjal li waliyyik al-faraj.
Ayameen.
والعافية والناس ومد في عمره الشريف وزين الأرض بطول بقائه واجعلنا من عوانه وأنصاره وشيعته يا رحمن يا رحيم ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم We ask you for the sake of Imam Sajjad زين العابدين the beauty of the worshippers يا الله Help us to get closer and to learn more of the dua and the supplications from Ma'sumin, inshallah. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, help us to read more dua in this month and be able to enjoy recitation of this dua, inshallah. Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, help our youth, our younger friends to be successful in this world and the other one, inshallah. Those parents that are sick, please cure them at this time. Those who passed away, send the thawab of this majlis, inshallah, to their soul. Rahimallahu man yaqra al-fatihata al-masum.